The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Very often in the Gospels, we see that Jesus is surrounded by great crowds. For at least part of his ministry, he was pretty popular. People were drawn to him like steel, like a magnet. They came from far and near just to hear Jesus' words, to be in his presence. This must have been an encouraging sign for Jesus that his movement was catching hold. He was becoming kind of a celebrity, and everyone knew was wanting to see Jesus. The multitudes were eager to join his cause. That's the kind of thing of which aspiring leaders dream about, like Donald Trump or Joe Biden, would almost give their eye teeth to be in those kinds of crowds to be able to get a vote. But Jesus wasn't at all impressed with that kind of hype. He could have celebrated his popularity. Instead, he turned to the crowds and said, "Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Difficult words to hear. Not exactly the kind of words that would attract support. You and I have heard these words many times over, and we have a tendency to tune them out sometimes. We don't really hear them. But what if we were in that original crowd and we heard those words? What would they sound like then to us? My guess is that we'd have been highly skeptical of this strange man who made such huge demands. Who does he think he is, asking us to lose our life and to put him before our families or even ourselves? I think that's a legitimate question. It deserves some observation or an answer anyway. At least it deserves us to think about. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. You remember the time that he was talking to the crowd and he said, "What kind of fool would build a tower without first calculating the cost?" Remember that. Likely what he was saying is that to follow him, there would be a cost. And that cost could bring on family conflicts and a cross to bear. J.P. Morgan was one of the early American industrialists. He was very wealthy. His fortune was worth billions by today's standards. He bought a yacht, very nice yacht, and he was asked, "Mr. Morgan, how much did that yacht cost?" He said, "If you have to ask the cost, you can't afford it." Jesus was more forthcoming than that. He encouraged people to ask the cost. And his answer was straightforward. To follow him, it would cost everything. It seems like an unreasonable demand. It sounds like the kind of thing that a wild-eyed fanatic would say. But think about it for a moment. Sooner or later, we're all going to lose our lives. There's no way around it. All the advances we've had in medicine and nutrition, despite all that, the rate of death for the human race is 100%. All the people that first heard that challenge from Jesus are now dead. They lost their lives to something. And so will we. It's not a question of whether or not we will pay the piper. The question is when and to what piper. For some of you here today, this talk might seem like nonsense. Maybe you're young. Maybe you're in excellent condition. The world is at your feet and you don't even have an idea what old age is or high blood pressure or heart disease. Right now you might feel immortal, invincible. But life isn't finished with you yet. I hope you will live a long and healthy life, but however long it may be, you will eventually let go of everything, just like the rest of us. When I travel to different parishes promoting Catholic radio, I usually conclude my talk with the following statement. Remember that the only thing that you get to take with you to heaven is that which you have given away while you were here on earth. Last Sunday, we celebrated Father's Day, and I thought about my father. I remember my father as someone who always worked hard in order to provide. He was the youngest son of Portuguese immigrants and grew up in the poverty of the Great Depression. Yet as a father, he worked hard at physical labor most of his life in order to provide for his family of a wife and five children. He often went without things that he wanted in order to give life to us. I will always remember him as a good man who would lose his life for others. One morning, back in 1990, while he was cooking breakfast on the stove, he had a heart attack, suddenly collapsed and died. We can't beat this thing, my friends. We can't. Life got here before we did, and it'll be here after we're gone. We came into this world with nothing, and we will leave this world with nothing. Father, mother, spouse, children, brothers and sisters, and possessions, all will be left behind. What Jesus was demanding wasn't so far-fetched after all. Since we are going to lose everything anyway, why not give it away instead of having it take it away? The good news is we do have that option. The man who issued this challenge was on his way to a cross to die. But instead of losing his life, he gave it to a cause that still is here today. Do you think the cause of Christ has vanished from the earth? Not a chance. Do you think it ever will? No way. Many people have given their lives to causes like communism. Well, their investment was wasted, wasn't it? Many people have given their lives to accumulating riches, great fortunes. If that's the sum total of their concern, they've lost it all. But that need not be. Giving up our life for Christ means more than just to die. We must be willing to give up worldly things, like money. It means we must be able to give up bad habits that can destroy us. It also means that we sometimes have to give up doing our own thing in order to do for others. There's a true story of a lady by the name of Estella McCarty. She was 87 years old and lived in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Her entire life was spent washing and ironing clothes. She dropped out of school in the sixth grade and went to work. For 75 years, she made dresses and shirts neat and clean for parties that she never could attend. But before she died, the college officials were astounded. On her meager income, a poor white washerwoman had accumulated $150,000. It was to be used as a scholarship for poor students. She said, "I want them to have the chance that I never had." That woman, my friends, will never die. And her investment will never be lost. She has given her life for others. Losing our life for Jesus Christ should become our daily way of living. And it doesn't have to be a big production. It could be as simple as giving a cup of cold water. As Mother Teresa put it, do small things with great love. This is God's promise to you and to me today. Love those around you, lose your life, and you will find it.